we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Welcome to America Out Loud Pulse with Peter Bregan and my wife,
Ginger Bregan.
And we are here with Alex Newman. I can't say enough good things about Alex's work as a journalist, as a thinker, as an American, as a person devoted to God. Maybe what I find most exciting is he's always seeing things I haven't seen yet and other people haven't seen yet. He's really on top of major issues of the day in a way that I find astonishing. And that's true not only in the broad areas of freedom right now, it's true in my own area of psychiatry. And hello, Alex. So good to not quite see you, but hear you on our radio show.
It's great to be with you. Thank you so much, both of you. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on.
And the article you wrote, quoting me a lot, is just recently went up on January 30th and of 2023. And it says, "Top expert sounds alarm on surge in antidepressant use." And actually, I mean, the implication is I'm the top expert, but you are a top expert. And this article could just as well be about you, except you quoted me a lot. So tell folks where they can get this article and anything else you want to tell them about. And I hear you've got more news on antidepressants and what's going on with them.
Yeah, well, thank you, Dr. Bregan. And, you really are, as far as I'm concerned, the top expert on this subject. You've got, of course, the training as a psychiatrist from Harvard. So you kind of know the system, you know what's going on there. And it was really an honor to be able to talk to you about this. And I'm so appreciative of your insight. There are very few people, I think, who have the experience and the training and the kind of the credentials to be able to speak with authority on this. And at the same time, the courage to speak against the entire establishment. Most of these people, even if they did want to speak out, they're tied up in the system because they're funding from the government or from the pharmaceutical companies. Very few people on the planet, I think, can speak with the gravitas that you bring and also with the courage that you bring. So I appreciate that. If people want to find this, it was originally commissioned and published by the Illinois Family Institute. This is a wonderful organization in Illinois that, they're kind of in hostile territory, I guess, but that fights to protect the family, protect decency and common sense against the escalating onslaught of immorality and attacks on children and attacks on the family. And I republished it on my own website. It's at libertysentinel.org. It's called "Top Expert Sounds Alarm on Surge in Antidepressant Use." And so, essentially what's happening, and this is not a trend that's isolated to America, the same thing is happening in Europe and even now in other areas of the world, is that more and more children, including very young children, are being diagnosed with these labels that they're depressed or they've got some sort of alleged mental disorder. And then they're being prescribed these very powerful psychotropic drugs, which, as you pointed out, carry enormous risks, don't actually treat any real chemical imbalance that exists. And of course, are associated with suicide and death and things like that. And I think, there's so much to unpack there. But I think you just did a brilliant job of summarizing the science, what's going on with these so-called medications and really, what the source of this is. Right. It's I think you hit the nail on the head when you pointed out that Big Pharma is, doing everything they can to make enormous amounts of money from us. It just came out that Pfizer made $100 billion or something obscene like that. And so they create these problems. They essentially bribe people to promote these things, journals and news organizations and even doctors. And then, they get all these people hooked on these mind-altering drugs. It's incredibly sad. And that trend of, you know, this mass medication of our children goes along with another trend. And this was just a study that was released very recently by the National Bureau of Economic Research showing that going to school is very strongly correlated with suicide in children, that when children are going to school, they are far more likely to kill themselves than when they're not in school. And so you also had some wonderful comments on why that might be, what's going on in the public school system that is producing this kind of horror in our young people. So,
well, that is an amazing summary. And you always catch what I want to emphasize for people. I also want to tie it into what we've been going through with the increasing destruction of our democracy, our constitutional democracy. And that was initiated under COVID-19 with the just this onslaught against our values and against our children, masking them, removing them from school, telling them that they're carriers of infection, they'll kill grandmother and grandpa if they see them, and that now the kids are hearing, because they're going to hear this, if not from their parents and even the school, they're going to hear it somewhere on the air or on the Facebook or somewhere, that, you know, that if they don't get vaccinated, they're killing the adults in the world. When in fact, folks, the children are the seat of the great hope for developing a community immunity. Developing immunity by having children get the COVID disorders, which do not kill them, not even SARS, the original Chinese SARS-CoV-2. It did not kill children. Those few that it made ill did not get very ill. The death rate among kids is essentially zero for COVID. And once they get COVID, they're going to have a far better and more effective and safer course than they will if they get the vaccines, which aren't as good for protection and cause terrible kinds of diseases and kill children, among other things, with the inflammatory disease of the heart. So we're in a place where this is really a bigger issue, too, and I want to encourage you to be able to talk about that today, that all of this eventually goes to back to globalism. What do you think about that? I'm sure you've got good ideas on it.
Yeah, I do think it all goes back to globalism. You know, that seems to be the top priority for, I love your term, I've borrowed it many times, the predator class. They are obsessed. They are absolutely fanatical about moving us toward this one world system. And that is manifested very obviously in the schools. In fact, I just published an article at the New American magazine last week about this very bizarre, and I think you'd be very interested in it, about these they call it neuroscience and social emotional learning that they're using on children to indoctrinate them. And they don't use the word indoctrinate, but they call it, you know, building kinder brains and things like this.
Oh, my
but
God.
Into the
it's that's amazing. Awful. Gives me chills. I would love you to send me that. Kinder brains. Isn't that a nice idea?
Yeah. And you know, as you dig into this, what you find is just so much bizarre stuff. You know, this is being run out of an obscure UN agency. You know, UNESCO is the UN's educational arm, if you will, the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. And they've got a sub-agency of this UNESCO. It's based in India. It's called the Mahatma Gandhi Institute of Education for Peace and Sustainable Development. And the people who created it, the people who run it, they are actual communists. I mean, in the truest sense of the term, members of the Communist Party, some of whom have served brutal mass murdering dictatorships. It was actually created under the leadership of Irina Bokova, who actually was a very high ranking member of the mass murdering dictatorship that oppressed Bulgaria for a long time, slaughtered hundreds of thousands of people. They ended up putting her in charge of UNESCO. And under her leadership, they created this institute to promote the idea of neuroscience and social emotional learning in the schools around the world. And they tell you what the goals of this manipulation of these children actually are. And you don't even have to really read between the lines. They talk about, you know, the children need to understand that we're all global citizens, that we all have, you know, basically a one world religion. They talk about it in the context of spirituality, but openly all over the website, they say we're changing the mindsets of children. We're transforming humanity. And it gets very bizarre. So as you look at the leadership of these organizations, what you find is a lot of psychiatrists, a lot of neuroscientists, a lot of communists, a lot of, you know, new age individuals who are promoting this idea that, you know, we're all one world religion, all one world spirituality. And, you know, the deeper you go down the rabbit hole, the more frightening it gets. The guy who used to lead this, he was the chairman of the board. He died a couple of years ago, but he was the chairman of this obscure institute that is now mainstreaming this in education around the world. Prior to his work with all this one world religion through the UN in education, he was actually the minister of family planning under the regime of Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. And for the folks who don't remember that, that was when they literally rounded up millions and millions of poor Indians and forcibly sterilized them. Thousands of people were killed through this. You know, for some perspective, that's about 15 times more people than the Nazis sterilized. So, you know, these people come from a very different perspective than I think a normal American would. And yet, they are now accessing our children in government school classrooms all over the world. It's very, very alarming to me.
You know, may I?
Sure.
I think from the standpoint of being a mother and a grandmother and a member of a family. And we hear this language that they're using, Alex, and it sounds like it really is supposed to be helping people to connect with each other and to be more part of a community. But in fact, making it global puts it so distant from any individual, from me, from you, from any adult, let alone from a child. Children need to be able to look at the person in the next seat, to see their faces, to be able to learn how to engage with each other, to begin to learn trust and friendship and socialization with each other in small classrooms and within the family and within the localized community. And this is diabolically opposed to all of that, to indoctrinate children to consider that they're one of several billion other individuals makes them feel so small and insignificant. And I suppose as an adult, there's a place for contemplating that kind of thing. But that's not what kids need. Kids need to really feel that secure attachment within their family first, with their parents and with their siblings and with their close neighbors. And then to expand that from there, this is doublespeak, this whole program, because while it talks about bringing everyone together, it's in fact teaching everyone that they're inexorably separated by distance, by space, by stature, by minuteness of being an individual. And it's exactly the opposite of what any thriving child needs. So I really understand they're going to be bereft learning this kind of thing. They're going to feel completely separate. And then, of course, you introduce any kind of social media to that and computers, which puts distance there. And my golly, what a horror.
Yeah, it really is, Ginger. I couldn't agree with you more. And you don't actually have to look very far to see that exactly what you're saying is what these people admit to. The leading organization that is promoting this idea of social emotional learning, it's called CASEL. It's the Collaborative for Academic Social Emotional Learning. And I think I actually did the first in-depth investigation of social emotional learning. It was for a piece I did, I think, maybe 6 months or a year ago over at the Epoch Times in the opinion section. And I didn't have to spend very long on the website to figure out what was going on. They're very openly talking about this racial stuff where they're dividing children up by race and telling some children that they're oppressed based on how much melanin they have in their skin, other children that they are oppressors based on how much melanin they have. They're openly promoting these radical political ideas, this sense of division, this sense of, you know, the other person is your enemy and you can only overcome this by doing, you know, what we say. It's very, very bizarre. And then you also don't have to look very far to find the occult New Age component. They took this down after I exposed it, but on the history page on the Castle website, they actually said right at the top that this idea came out of the Fetzer Institute. And I had not heard of the Fetzer Institute. You know, I consider myself pretty well informed on these issues, but I had not heard of the Fetzer Institute. So I looked it up. And it turns out this was founded by a New Age occultist, a disciple of a lady named Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company, and she claimed to be, she claimed to be communicating with these spiritual entities that she called Ascended Masters. And at this institute, they're sitting there doing these weird Alice Bailey chants and summoning these spiritual entities. And so for the leading purveyors of this social emotional learning to openly come out and say that this comes out of an institute that is involved in these types of things. And I don't care where anybody is on religion, but the fact is, these people should not be pushing their very bizarre views on our children at taxpayer expense in what are supposed to be public institutions. It's very bizarre.
Folks, you're listening to Alex Newman, and as much or more than anybody that I ever interview and am interviewed by, Alex has real understanding. And our conversations always educate me. I would love to get, you know, whatever articles you've written around this. You've mentioned two now, and I have one of them, but I'd like to get the links to anything you want about this.
I could put them up in the data, Alex, when we put the radio show up tomorrow.
Very good. I'll send you the link right now so you have it.
That's
great. It's going to become a part of the new book where more and more we're talking about the actual evil roots of so much of what is descending upon the earth today. From within the earth, but upon the earth, I'm starting to use an old term that used to be applied to humanity when we were developing over a couple of million years as the apex predator. And Ginger was reading to me yesterday about apex predators, and of course the concept is very familiar. But the apex predators now have turned on humanity. It used to be that the apex predators, that meant that we could go out and we were the top of the food chain. We could kill elephants, we could kill lions and tigers if we had to, with our tremendous cooperative skills and determination, even with very primitive weapons. I mean, we attacked mastodons with pointed sticks, literally, hundreds of thousands of years ago. And now it's as if what's happened is that we've all been, all the violent men have been thwarted by not having the apex hunting role anymore. So now they are apex global predators, the men that have that greatest genetic endowment in this arena. It's a theory I popped into my head about 2 days ago. And so much of this fills in with us. We'll continue with Alex Newman, brilliant to say the least.
We are fighting the ultimate fight between good and evil. AmericaOutloud.com replaces groupthink with innovative think. Well, it was Walt Whitman, the poet, who said, "Keep your face always toward the sunshine, and shadows will fall behind you." America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe. Air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Pulse. It's on this wonderful platform run by Malcolm, created by Malcolm, owned by Malcolm, named America Out Loud. And this is America Out Loud Pulse, which comes on the air at 5 o'clock every weekday. And we are on the Thursday.
We're proud to be bookended by Dr. McCullough on Wednesdays at 5 and Dr. Harvey Reich on Fridays at 5. And there are two other wonderful doctors on Monday and Tuesday. So we are very proud to be part of this 5-day series.
And we do a column on America Out Loud as well. He's been very encouraging to me and to Ginger to do more things together. And this is one of the things that is Malcolm's creation. And thank you, Malcolm, for that. Alex, I'm happy to have you pick up at whatever point you want on this conversation. You're delivering a lot of information on a lot of different...
If I may.
Yeah.
In regards to apex predators, the concept that, as I understand it, we're working with is that there's a small subset, really, of human beings
yes.
who seem to have this apex drive and no place to put it except that they want to control the world. And I still feel weird every time I say that because it sounds like a comic book, but we've been conditioned to think of it as something funny and fictional and, oh, well, that's just James Bond at the best, you know, or else it's superhero stuff. So we look for superheroes and we think it's all kind of just movie stories and comic book stories rather than real life. But with the connective technology that we have now, there are a small group of elites, and these are entities, both individuals, billionaires, and corporations, and
banks
and
military industrial complex
and government agencies that have been captured or have gladly gone along with this kind of control. This is not all men. And that's the point that I wanted to make sure we were clear about. We love men. Men are wonderful. And that really needs to be said, especially from a woman's standpoint, I believe. We need strong, heroic men in this world. And we've been really damaging our boys by telling them they need to be beta and quiet and withdrawn. And but they also need male role models to learn how to turn their strengths to really enhancing human survival. And that's all there. We see it in our history. We see it in the best and the ideal of family life and community life. So I think I'm one of many, many millions, if not billions of human beings that would like to see a resurgence of that kind of traditional connecting family and community life that has nurtured humanity for so long. But part of that, getting back to that, is really recognizing that there's evil amongst us. from a select few that needs to be acknowledged and faced and confronted and addressed.
Well, this is wonderful. And this is a send-off, Alex, really, for these ideas we've been perking for a couple of days. And I think we can say that we need our young men who, over millions of years, would have quickly joined as early as they could the hunting groups of men that were going out to take down the cave bears and cave cats and self-defense.
And to take care of their families.
And to take care of their families by doing that.
Right.
And to take care of their families by the going out and hunting the animals that were available, the large animals. And now we need these young people to be there to defend against the human enemies, which have really only come out in the last 10, 12,000 years when we have been developing, living in large communities, giving up owning weapons, giving up owning hunting, giving up on moving about and being free to go to new places that were maybe safer or better. And we got tied down into the villages and the communities. That's literally civilization, the beginning of civilization, made us into a very vulnerable groups. And within 1,000 or 2 years, we were already starting to fight between the groups, which was almost unheard of in the up until then. And then groups became dominated by men who could take over because the rest of the men, their main weapons might be whatever they were tilling the soil with. Gradually, until, 1,000 or 2 years before Christ, we've got kingdoms developing. I mean, it's all quite new. And the first enormous totalitarian empire in China is about, reaches its, you know, finally gathers up the other kingdoms about 200 BC. Well, we have got to be aware of this. And this is what's going on now. This is a world empire that can control the news, control the UN, control other countries, control Joe Biden, and on and on and on. This is an international network. And I'm going to be calling them, I think, more and more the apex global predators. We made famous, I think, or part little famous concept of global predators. And these are the apex global predators. And we have to have young men and women who can stand up to them.
My one other thought here is that what we have to look for is freedom and love. And they're both really important. The kind of love that's being endorsed by these globalists is not love. It's not connectivity. No. It's not attachment. And so don't just look for the word, but look for the genuine ability to speak freely, to share your ideas, to go to the public square, to make friends, to connect in person, to connect freely online in the cyber public squares.
Yeah, on this subject, you know, I think this is something that's been plaguing humanity for millennia. And if you look around the world today, if you look back through human history, what you find is there's always some subset of the population that is exceptionally wicked, that is exceptionally driven to control, to enslave, to plunder, to live off the fruit of the labor of their fellow man. We saw this really become unbelievably catastrophic over the last 100 years. In Germany, we had the National Socialists led by Adolf Hitler. In Cuba, we had the communists led by Fidel Castro and Ernesto Che Guevara. In China, we had the communists led by Chairman Mao. In Southeast Asia, we had the communists led by Pol Pot, who exterminated somewhere.
And Soviet Union. Yes.
Absolutely. Yep. And I mean, Pol Pot exterminated, estimates say, potentially half of his countrymen. And that's hard for normal people to fathom because normal people don't think in that way. Normal people don't have a desire to kill and oppress their fellow man. They just want to feed their family. You know, they may be doing minor sinful things. They may, you know, embezzle a little bit at work. They may lie a little bit here and there, but nothing on the scale that these apex global predators, as you call them, are interested in. So I think for a lot of people, it's hard to comprehend that there are people like that. And we would be incredibly foolish, incredibly naive to think that somehow these people don't collaborate together, that somehow these people don't exist today in America, that we're just so special, that we're somehow the first society in all of human history not to have this kind of class of predators seeking to oppress and kill and murder and destroy. And, you know, what you said earlier about what they're doing to our young men, our boys, is absolutely critical. I think they have realized that the biggest source of opposition is strong men who are willing to stand up to them and say, no, you're not going to do that to my family. No, you're not going to do that to my community. You're not going to do that to my country. I will protect my children. I will protect my wife, and I will not allow you to do that. And so they come up with this narrative of toxic masculinity, that all the things that little boys do are somehow bad and need to be, you know, to get back to what we started this conversation, we got to medicate them. Oh, these boys aren't paying attention in school when they're learning, you know, silly things. Well, quick, give them amphetamines, right? Fry their brain with more and more amphetamines until we can get them to sit still like zombies so that they don't have toxic masculinity. And at the same time, they're trying to masculinize girls. They're telling girls that there's something wrong with traditional attributes that have been considered feminine, and that if they just behave more like boys or, you know, stereotype to behave, then that's going to be good. The predator class is doing this deliberately because they want to undermine the opposition. And I think that's the same reason why they're trying to undermine the family. That's the same reason why Karl Marx said we have to get rid of the nuclear family. He believed women should be held in common, and that, you know, the monogamous marriage was one of the bourgeois institutions that had to be abolished before the state could ultimately take over everything. And then we could someday move to this imaginary communist utopia. So all of these things are calculated to neutralize opposition to the takeover, to the agenda of these global predators. And when you begin to see it in that light, suddenly you realize, wow, we not only have to do something, we have to protect our children, and we have to raise up children with the skills and the knowledge and the virtue to be able to resist this evil.
Yeah, you nail it so well, Alex. It's just astonishing how well you nail these things. I know that, I mean, I think you, even though you're much younger than us, you were probably way ahead of us in your development on these issues. Because I can remember, if I had tuned in on something like this, even a month before COVID, even if over a month before January 2020, I would have said these people are elaborating some sort of bizarre delusion.
Yeah.
And Ginger was more ahead of me on the fringes, and you know, she had much less training than me, so she got a freer mind, and she was more widely read in many ways, was sort of read in different areas, and she was saying to me, honey, that you're taking on psychiatry, but you're really taking on the whole oppressive movements that are going on. And neither of us could describe those movements. And then lo and behold, we start researching who the heck is. I mean, we knew the drug companies were evil. We were much more sophisticated about the drug companies than hardly anybody else on the planet. I'd actually been a medical expert inside, you know, empowered to go inside the companies by judges, and was able to know the nature of their evil, but I didn't make those big connections to the banks and the UN and to the communists and the Russians and the collaborators with them in the United States, and so on.
Well, I think that we had our
we
lady.
Do now. We yeah. make it now.
We absolutely make it now. I think pre-2020, many of us, especially in the reform movements, kind of had their own area or lane of expertise, and that felt big enough. I mean, just addressing all of psychiatry, which in so many ways has been an enforcer for so long of social control and totalitarianism, that was enough. It felt like enough. And unfortunately, it was the tip of many spears, but it was not the whole picture. And boy, did we wake up quick once 2020 arrived and the oppression became blatant.
At some point, and we have 4 minutes in this segment, I'd love to hear from you about some of your background? How young were you or old when you started to realize that there was a mass of evil coming against the world and trying to take down the democracies of the world? It's the last thing evil wanted to have to put up with. We're independent, democratic, constitutionally oriented states. And maybe or you can comment on anything else first. We have 4 minutes left.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, I think the work you have done exposing psychiatry, both of you, is absolutely fundamental, because what we're dealing with here is a very evil cabal of individuals. And I even think there's a metaphysical element to this. In fact, I don't think any of this can be explained without looking at just the fact that this is a battle between good and evil. But what we actually need is experts in the various fields to expose what's going on in those fields. And so that's why it's so critical that an expert in psychiatry, somebody who knows the system, somebody who knows the players, somebody who's been trained and understands all this, speak out about what's happening in psychiatry. And I think we need the same thing in all of these different areas, right? We need people who have been trained in media to come out and expose the manipulation that the media does. We need people who've been trained in economics and who understand the economic system to explain what's been happening with our monetary system, with this scam banking system that we call the Federal Reserve System in the United States, that is basically a parasitic institution that sucks the wealth and the prosperity out of America to squander it on more evil. And so we need people who are experts in these different areas to call these things out. And that's why, you know, in my vantage point as a journalist, I always say, and kind of half joking, but it's true, I'm not really an expert in anything, but I get to talk to experts in a lot of things. And that gives me, I think, and other people who are in this field, the ability to say, well, look, here's what the experts in psychiatry are saying. Here's what the experts in economics are saying. Here's what the experts in COVID and medicine are saying. And when you put all this together, it paints a very clear picture of, as you put it, a global predator class that is determined to install themselves as rulers of us all. And, you know, I came to these realizations, I think, earlier than a lot of people. But, you know, there was nothing unique or special about me. It was just fortuitous that I had been that I'd received a relatively good secular education in elite private schools, and then came across information that helped me see these things earlier than many others. But I'm incredibly excited about what happened in 2020. I know many horrors happened in 2020, but as you both just described, you know, you are among millions, maybe billions of people who saw what was happening, realized because of your training, because of your background, because of your expertise, that we were being lied to, that something wasn't right, and you dug for the truth, and presto, right? And this is happening as we speak all across the world. And so what these evil individuals meant for evil, for harming us, is, I think, going to end up being turned on them in a way where we now are dealing with an unprecedented awakening of humanity that I don't think we've seen, certainly in my lifetime, yeah. And I don't see it even in human history. So it's a very exciting time.
You know, and we have tried to present that broadest picture. Thank God the two of us read in different areas and have read all our lives in different areas. And I've been involved in politics as a libertarian many years ago, and economics and things like that. And we do present in COVID-19 and the global predators, COVID-19 and the global predators. We are the prey. We do present the deepest and most extensive coverage, I think, yet available still, and we're following up with it with our research. And if you want to get the book from us, you can go right to wearetheprey.com.
If you're in the U.S.
If you're in the U.S. And that lets us know. First, you'll get it a little cheaper than anywhere else, but it lets us know that you're listening and caring. And we will be back with marvelous Alex Newman in a few minutes.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
And we're back, and we're talking with this amazing journalist, Alex Newman. One thing that I would love for you to expand on, if you want, Alex, and Peter can also, and that is totalitarian governments aren't just taking away your freedoms, telling you what to do, and sending you on your way. The totalitarian movements inevitably kill, if they're big enough, they kill millions and tens and hundreds of millions of their own citizens. These are outside of the wars. And it's so important to remember that, because otherwise you're going, globalist or nationalist, so what? I just want to go and make my paycheck and put food on the table. And that does not end up happening well for your day-to-day citizens in totalitarian worlds. Historically, that is absolutely the case. And that is clearly what is occurring now also with the dreadful, deadly results of the vaccines, these toxic so-called vaccines that have been pushed upon citizens worldwide, and other aspects of the various disconnections that have been forced upon the global citizens in many ways, from lockdowns to masking to staying at home to everything else. So I think that we really need to emphasize and help people to understand and to just grapple with the fact that a totalitarian government isn't just some other form of running things up there. It is a form of massive assassination of citizens of the that are under the control of those totalitarian regimes. And we cannot forget that, because we will be the victims if we forget that.
You're exactly right, Ginger. Go ahead, Peter.
No, go ahead, Alex. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think it's really important to emphasize that, because I think a lot of people are still under the idea that this is just a little inconvenience, that it's just people with a different ideological perspective. And that is what has gotten so many nations, so many peoples, so many communities into deadly trouble, even just in the last 100 years. I mean, just forget all of human history, which we've seen the same thing over and over again, but just look at the last 100 years. Germans thought, well, you know, I disagree with Hitler. Yeah, he's a little bit crazy, but you know, I got to feed my family. I got a job. I don't want to speak out. It's going to be very inconvenient. Some of my neighbors might shun me. And then what happens? Millions of people end up dead. And we need to not think about these as just abstract numbers. Well, millions of dead people. These were moms. These were brothers. These were sisters and sons and daughters whose families were devastated by this loss. And there is, I think, you know, for hundreds of years, we've had a relatively peaceful existence in the United States, but there is the sense in America that we are kind of immune to all of that. And the reality is we are not. There's nothing special about American DNA or anything like that that makes us immune to that. And so we need to learn from the mistakes of other people. The same thing with the Chinese, same thing with the people who lived under Pol Pot, and the people who lived under Joseph Stalin, and the people who lived under Vladimir Lenin, right? We need to recognize that this is not an abstract threat that's kind of inconvenient or that may become a problem at some point. This is something that literally threatens not just your life, but the lives of everyone you love. And when you take life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and property. And you realize that all of those things are on the chopping block if we don't do something. That should be a motivator to get involved. And you know, I don't want people to be motivated just by fear, but also, you know, think about the wonders that could be if we could just live our lives in peace, if we didn't have to deal with it. I would love nothing more than to just be able to run my business and raise my family and, you know, go out and do the things we love. But the reality is, if we want those things, we have to be prepared to defend our freedoms, to defend our families, to defend our lives against these global predators. And if we don't, we'll end up in exactly the same situation that so many millions and really so many billions of people before us have ended up in. We can't allow that to happen. It's just that simple.
Absolutely. The other thought that occurs to me is the more we submit, the more we go, oh, okay, it's just 2 weeks of lockdown. Oh, okay, the kids are just going to be home for a month. Oh, 4 months, I guess I can manage 4 months with the kids at home, schooling via computer, et cetera, et cetera. The more we comply and we don't resist, the more we allow these insults to occur and these oppressions, the more exhausted we get. I really believe that. And the harder it is then to take that next step and go, okay, that's my red line. You can't take me past this. Enough of us are not doing that yet. People are beginning to really turn away from the mRNA treatments and vaccines and so forth. And that is excellent. But we need to look at every aspect of our lives as adults. Remember what it was like in 2019 and start to turn back the clock in terms of our own behaviors, because now we've been programmed and we've been taught and we've been manipulated to the point where we're complying without even thinking about it in so many different ways. I go into a grocery store in New York State, in the western end of New York State, not the urban area, and half these poor people are still in masks. It's so sad. They're terrified to take their people drive around in their cars by themselves masked. And that is such a dissociation from community, from being able to see each other's smiles. I make a point to smile to everyone when I go into the grocery stores and other places where I need to transact business. And we all need to do those first steps. And you know what? When I first came out after lockdown and went to a grocery store and instead of getting groceries delivered, I was shaking in my car as I drove to the grocery store. I was that affected, and I knew I was being propagandized. So I really want to urge all of my fellow citizens and Americans and free people who yearn for freedom everywhere to recognize that fear has been instilled. That's a reaction now that we have, that we need to just go, oh, okay, there's some fear. I'm going to push that aside. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to set an example for my community, for my children, for my friends, and I'm going to be free, and I'm going to exercise myself, and I am going to resist with all my might anything that steals my freedoms and that steals my American way of life.
I'm so glad you're explaining that, Ginger. It's so critical, I think, for people to understand. And, you know, this is part of a rich tradition that really underpins Western civilization. You know, I encourage people to go back and read their Bibles, read some of the Old Testament stories of the righteous people who resisted evil in government. I mean, the stories are ubiquitous across the Bible. You can go in the book of Exodus and you read about the Hebrew midwives. They were commanded by Pharaoh to kill all the baby boys. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Hebrew boys who were taken off into Babylonian captivity. They're ordered to bow down to this ridiculous golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar built. And they said, no, King, we're not going to do that. We're just not going to do that. And our God can protect us from you. And even if he doesn't protect us from you, we're still not bowing down to your ridiculous golden statue. You read about Daniel, right? When the king said, passed a law that nobody could pray to anybody except him. But what did Daniel do? He went up to his apartment, he opened up the window so everybody could see him defying this ridiculous law, and he prayed to God. This is a thread that runs all through the Bible, and it's a thread that runs through everything good about human history and human civilization. The reason civilization has been created, the reason it exists as it does today, the reason we have these material comforts, the reason we value human life and we respect human dignity is precisely because so many heroic people have come before us who are willing to put it all on the line. I mean, even just look at the history of our own country, our founding fathers in this country, they stood up against the most powerful government on the face of the planet. And they said, we're willing to put our lives and our fortunes and our sacred honor on the line so that we and our descendants may live free. And you know, we've been so brainwashed, so indoctrinated, so demoralized by the media that that almost sounds silly to us today. But we need to get back to that understanding or we never will live free. In fact, our children and our grandchildren, maybe even us, will live under brutal tyranny if we're fortunate enough to live. So we have to go back and look at his, you know, they've erased our heroes. Now they're demonizing our heroes, but there's just so many of them throughout human history who've made it possible for us to be alive and for us to be free and for us to have the virtues that we have today. We owe so much to them. And wouldn't it be sad if we were the generation that let it all be for naught and that allowed humanity to be enslaved? It's unthinkable. We can't even imagine. We cannot allow it to happen regardless of the consequences.
Well, I'm just listening and thinking about, thank God you're there and how clearly you think. What an amazingly clear voice you are. Folks, there's no way to exaggerate this. You know, you're just a small boat trip off the coast of Florida is Cuba. All the nations in South America are moving in that direction now, including Brazil, where a Trump-like president was illegally voted out of office with a lot of influence from Chinese machines and Chinese apex global predators being involved with that. So we're losing South America, and we have probably lost Canada now, and we're losing ourselves. And when you hear things that seem like they're just weird being done by the government, ask yourself, is this what an apex global predator would want to do to destroy America?
That's so true. It's not because the president is in some way completely mentally compromised. Everything that's happening now in our own American and United States administration, it's by design. It's like deliberate collapse of everything that we've cherished. And we have to recognize that this isn't a mistake. President Biden hasn't made a mistake. His administration have not made mistakes. They are doing what they planned on doing to collapse and cooperate with the apex predators, the globalists. And only when we remind ourselves of that do we get pulled out of the brainwashing perspective that, oh, he's just a little off but, you know, he wants the best for us or something. That is way not true.
Let me give four. Go ahead, Alex.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Dr. Brigham.
Well, I'll give four quick examples, folks, to make you realize what's happening to the country. The reason the borders are being opened is in order to destroy the sovereignty of the United States by purposely flooding the country with people who do not know our history, don't know about George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, people who don't understand the Constitution and aren't going to learn it, especially if they remain illegal and don't even go through that process. And that's exactly what they want them to do. Just be yourselves and we'll take care of you. They bring in diseases. They bring in the drugs that are killing 100,000 of our young people a year now.
It's just fentanyl.
With fentanyl, and it's that comes in through China. So you've got this huge destruction on the southern border going on of America. Then one of the first things he also did was to shut down the pipeline from Canada, which Canada did not want to happen because it lost a lot of income and jobs for them. But for us, it lost energy independence. For the first time in history under Trump, we became energy independent. Why would you destroy your own country's energy independence? But something most people don't know about, at the same time, the Biden administration on its own proposed to the World Health Organization to remove all legal restraints built into the rules governing the World Health Organization, modifying the amending the basically the rules of the World Health Organization, so it could intervene and take over any nation's health system and related kinds of systems if it was deemed to be a potential threat to the health of some other country. We're not talking about pandemics. We're talking about this broad definition of health. So he's giving our sovereignty away. We may actually lose it this May when they vote on these amendments at the annual meeting of the governing body of WHO. At the same time, WHO is trying to make treaties with countries, and the U.S. is probably going to do it because they've been behind the treaties, to do the same thing from our direction, to give up our sovereignty. And it won't be called a treaty allowing Congress to vote on it. They're just going to be called some sort of a declaration or agreement. And then the final thing, which almost no one knows about, is that the heads of China, Canada, and Mexico got together this month and made a North America declaration. What is that? It wasn't a declaration of three sovereign countries, a North America declaration. And one of the big parts of it, in addition to all the woke BS that went on, was the wonders of immigration.
Right. It was the U.S. and Mexico and Canada.
And, you know, it's not a bad thing for Mexico because, you know, these people come here and they don't love America. They love their own countries where their children may be, or their wives or their husbands, and they send their money back to Mexico or Honduras or whatever other country they've come from. Some of them are coming from Middle East and China. But, I mean, to these countries, particularly Mexico, the money flows right out to them, while meanwhile they use our public institutions here and drain them. So we're looking at the destruction of America, and it will be horrific because at some point there are too many millions of Americans they're going to have to exterminate. And I haven't said this before, but that's what it's going to come down to, because there are a lot of us who aren't going to put up with this, and we're going to die over it. We got to stop it before it just gets to dying. We got to win. We got to take back America. That's what this show is ultimately about. It's what all of our work is ultimately about. And Alex, you get 1 minute to talk about Take Back America.
Well, it's a real joy to be able to be on the program with you guys. And I agree 100%. We must take back our country, and not even just for our own sake, not for selfish reasons, but for the sake of our children, for the sake of the next generation, for the sake of our grandchildren and great grandchildren not born yet. We received this country in decent shape, and we have an obligation to all those who came before us and to God and to ourselves and to our children to pass it on to the next generation, at least in as good a shape as we found it. And you're right, Dr. Bregan, people don't like to hear that, but if we fail in this, the consequences are almost too catastrophic to contemplate, and mass death is certainly among them. So we can't allow that to happen. We need to get involved. And I tell people, you know, the first thing, get yourself informed, protect your family, get your children a decent education. And you're not going to find that in the government school system. Get involved, talk to your neighbors, talk to the people in your church or your synagogue, call your elected officials, set up meetings with them. We need all hands on deck here. Just voting every couple of years is not going to be enough. We need people to really get involved, and everything depends on it. So thank you guys so much for having me on the program. And
thank you, Alex. We are at the hard break now. God bless you, Alex Newman. We will be in constant contact with you. Thank you for being on America Out Loud Pulse.